and Tarot. Speaker Brother Skippy Norman, sermon title, How Can We Hinder Our Own Spiritual Growth? Scripture is Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. All right. Presiding at the Lord's table, Brother Wiley Edwards and Jerry White. Closing prayer, Greg Newton. Would you bow with me for a word of prayer? Father, we're thankful for this day, for this time you've given us to come together for our morning worship service, and for every opportunity that we have to serve thee. We're praying, Father, that if there's anyone here today, anyone who does not know you by the power of your word, something will be said in the spirit of Christ as well as in the spirit of love that will cause them to walk down before this gathering today, resolved to start from this day forward to make heaven their home. Be with us now, Father, in this service unto thee. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Psalm 486. Sweet is the song I'm singing today. I'm redeemed. Trouble and sorrow have faded away. I'm redeemed. My love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine. All to him, I now reside. I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. By love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine.
Eternal life he gives from sin and sorrow free. Would you bow with me in prayer? Our almighty, our all-powerful, all-knowing Father God in heaven, Lord, we so humbly bow before your mighty throne, Father. Lord, we're just so thankful this morning, Lord, that you blessed us all with the health and strength to rise up out of our beds this morning on the first day of new week. As we've been commanded in thy word, Father, and that we can peacefully and openly assemble together, Father, that we might worship thee in spirit and in truth here this morning. Our Father, we pray that all of our acts of worship unto thee, Father, that the songs we sing this morning, the scriptures that we examine from thy word, Father, the communion that we'll take to remember our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus, Father, that all might be conducted decent and in order and would be most pleasing and acceptable unto thee, Father. Our Lord, we're so thankful for our congregation here, Father, for the body of Christ here at Cross Street, Father. We're thankful for our elders, our deacon, our preacher, all of our teachers, Father, and all those that help to make the work of the church here possible, Lord. We know that it takes all the members of the body working together to have a properly functioning body, Father, and we're thankful for all those that help to contribute, Lord. Our Father, at this time, Lord, we ask that you'd bless our brother Norman as he'll stand before us here in a few moments, Father. Bless him with a good remembrance of the things that he's prepared to discuss from thy word this morning, Father, and we pray that you'd bless us all with an attentive ear and heart, Father, that we might study these things to know that they're the truth and that we might apply these things to our lives, Father, and ultimately be better and stronger Christians from it. Our Father, at this time, Lord, we're also mindful of all those that we had mentioned as being sick this morning, Father. We'd ask, Lord, that you'd bless each and every one that was mentioned, Father, however that they stand in need, Father, that's physical or mental, emotional, Father, or spiritual, as we're all ailed spiritually from time to time, Father. We pray that you'd wrap your arms around each and every one of these individuals, Father, that you'd bless them as they stand in need, comfort them, and that if it be your will, that you might grant unto them the things that they need to be restored to their normal health and strength, Father. Our Lord, we also pray for the the Blakely family and the Gatlin family, Father, as they've lost loved ones at this time, Lord. We know that it's a very trying time in our lives, Father, and we pray that you'd bless those families, Father, as they're grieving the loss of their loved ones, Father, and that you might help them remember that you're always there with them, Lord. Our Father, we're also very thankful for all the many, many blessings of life that you've given each and every one of us, Father. They're too numerous to even count, Lord. There's numerous as the grains of sand along the seashore, Father. But we recognize, Lord, that all these things flow from Thee, Father, and we're so thankful unto Thee for them. And Lord, we're most thankful, Father, for your grace and love, Father, the grace and love that sent your Son upon this earth, Father, lived the perfect life that he did, Father, set the example that he did, and ultimately become that perfect Lamb of God whose sacrifice and shedding of blood, that blood which cleanses us from all unrighteousness, Lord. And Father, we're so thankful for Christ Jesus and for his willingness to die for our sins, Father, and we pray that as we go throughout our lives that the things that we do and the words that we speak, Father, that all will be a reflection of our thankfulness for Christ. And Lord, as we continue in our worship this morning, Father, once again, we pray that everything we do this morning would be most pleasing and acceptable unto Thee, Father. We pray that you'd forgive us of our sins and shortcomings, Father, as we repent and turn away from those areas, Father. And we pray that that all that we do would be most pleasing unto Thee, Father. And we ask that you be with us as we continue our worship this morning, and we ask these and all things, Father, in the name of Thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Before partaking of the Lord's Supper, let's turn to scene number 490. Let's do 1, 2, and 4. I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross he suffered, from the curse to set me free. Sing, O Prince of my Redeemer, with his love he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free. I will tell the wondrous story, how my love this day to save. In his boundless love and mercy, he the ransom freely gave. Sing, O sing, of my Redeemer, with his love he purchased me. On the cross, he sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free. I will sing of my Redeemer, and his heavenly love to me. He from death to life has brought me, Son of God, with him to be. Sing, O sing, of my Redeemer, with his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free.
We now have the privilege and the honor to serve and partake of the Lord's Supper. This is a specific time that we have to remember Christ Jesus, to remember Him, to remember what He did for each and every one of us. In John chapter 15, verses 13, the Bible reads that greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Before us, we have two emblems that represents His body. We have the bread. We have the fruit, it's the cup that represents His shed blood. Let us give thanks for the bread. We're so grateful and so thankful, Father, for this privilege we have to remember the broken body of Christ Jesus and the redemption we have in Him. It is an honor and a privilege that we have on the first day of the week to remember Him. It is in His name we give you all praise, honor, and glory. And amen.
Let's give thanks for the cup. Lord, we come before You, thanking You for the precious blood that was shed on our behalf. We thank You for being able to commune with You, to be able to love You, to be able to think upon the sacrifices made on our behalf. Lord, we thank You for all the many blessings that we indeed have. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
If anyone was overlooked upon serving the Lord's Supper, please signal by raising your hand and you will be served. At this particular time, we have another commandment, and that is to give. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 2, the Bible encourages us to lay by in store and be prepared to give back unto God on the first day of each and every week. Let us bow and give thanks. O kind and merciful Father, we are so grateful and so thankful for all of the prosperity you've given to each and every one of us, for all of the talents and the abilities you've blessed us to have, enabling us to take care of ourselves and our family. We're so grateful and so thankful that we're able to give back and share in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is in his name we give you all praise, honor, and glory. Amen.
Song of an Invitation, after the lessons, one will be number 10 in the black book. 10 in the black book. And then before the lesson in our scripture reading, let's turn to scene number 492. 492.
Angels are singing redemption sweet song, wonderful things, glorious things. Shout the glad message and join in the throng, singing redemption song. Sing the sweet story, redemption sweet song. Over and over the chorus song. Shout the glad message and join with the throng. Heaven will sing praise to the King, sing redemption song. Over and over the melody rings, wonderful things, glorious things. Heaven resounds with the tribute they bring. Singing redemption song. Sing the sweet story, redemption sweet song. Over and over the chorus prolong. Shout the glad message and join with the song. Ever will sing praise to the King, singing redemption song. Joy beyond measure awakes us up there. Wonderful things,
glorious things soon we shall see. Angels up there singing redemption songs, singing country glory, redemption we song. Over and over the chorus roll on, shout the glad tidings and God with the throng. Ever will sing, praise to the King, singing redemption song.
Good morning. Scripture reading this morning will come from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. That's Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I'll be reading from the King James Version. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, our brother Skippy.
I'll say good morning. Truly it's good to see each and every one of you here this morning. And if you're visiting with us, we do count you as our honored guests. Just glad that you came to be a part of this service this morning. And for those who have tuned in on our conference call this morning, we welcome you as well. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. O wise eternal Heavenly Father, Lord, we again thank you for this day and thank you for your blessings and opportunity you've given us to assemble ourselves together on this morning. Thank you for the avenue that we have with the conference call, that those who can not make it, that they can call in and listen to our service as well. We just pray, Heavenly Father, as we're about to go into your word, that we focus upon your word and things that it has to say in our situations. And Lord, as we look over our lives, we make sure that we are living and doing things in accordance to your holy and divine word. Forgive us of any sin we may have committed through thought, word, or deed. These blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. On Wednesday night, if you have been here on Wednesday or you have tuned in to our conference call on Wednesday, we have been talking about spiritual growth. We looked at what it means. Spiritual growth is about closing the gap between who we currently are and who God wants us to be. No matter who we are, no matter how long we've been in God's family, there is still room to grow. There is still room to mature. Spiritual growth means putting into practice what is taught in God's word. You must have a desire to want to grow. And then we looked at what that looks like. We looked at a model of how that spiritual growth looks, that we go from being selfish to being Christ-like. And we still do have handouts in the foyer if you want to pick up those handouts that we've been dealing with on Wednesday night. And then Wednesday night we looked at obstacles of spiritual growth, and one being ourselves. We are the biggest hindrance to spiritual growth. And so we want to carry this over this morning by looking at how we can hinder our own spiritual growth. We have to understand that building spiritual growth is a day-to-day process. Increasing our knowledge base and understanding God's word is the key. Spending time reading God's word, studying God's word, it's a part of growing who we want to be. Our desire, our actions, is to be more like Jesus. And when you be more like Jesus, it speaks volumes about our growth. Because he is the ultimate example of what it means to be spiritual. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or may be adequate, equipped for every good work. See, some people will grow more quickly, while others progress at a slower or more steady pace. That's why it's important not to waste time comparing yourself to somebody else. Comparison doesn't bring us anything positive. In reality, the progress we make is about our individual relationship with Christ. That is what matters. What is our relationship with Christ? But even with progress, there are temptations, there are choices, there are decisions, there are complications that is lurking around every corner to cloud our perspective. And if we are to be God's salt, if we are to be God's light, then we must follow him. We must commit to him and be his hands and be his feet. And so as Christians, we are called to move forward in our faith. Now notice what I said. We are called to move forward in our faith. The Apostle Paul sets the example for us. In Philippians 3 and verse 14, he said, I press toward the mark, the goal of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There here, right here in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which do so easily beset us, and let us run with patience, looking unto Jesus, who is the Alpha and the finisher of our faith. So spiritually speaking, for various reasons, many people stay in situations, stay in circumstances that hinders their spiritual growth. You are not supposed to stay in the same place spiritually year after year. There ought to be some growth in you. There ought to be some maturity in you. God wants you to grow. But often, church, we get stuck. And usually because we allow things, we allow people to hinder our spiritual growth. And God desires for you and I to outgrow all the things that hold you back from living the amazing life and purpose He desires for you and I. That means that we got to take inventory on our lives to see where we are spiritually. Don't look at somebody else and see where they are. Take an inventory and see where you are spiritually in your relationship with Jesus Christ. And so God is looking for people who refuse to be content with where they were last year and desire for more of His presence and more of His power. What are some things this morning that hinders your spiritual growth? I submit to you, first of all, distractions and desire. Our desire has a great deal to do with whether we grow into spiritual maturity or not. You know, amazing as this might sound, we are the ones who determines our level of hunger and desire. In fact, you can increase your desire by exercise, or you can destroy it by neglect. In Proverbs 27 and verse 7, one who is full loathes honey from the comb, but to hungry even what is bitter taste sweet. What you talking about? The cares of life, the love of money, entertainment, and other desires of this world fill our souls with clutter. When our souls is filled with clutter and distractions, we tend to neglect the sweet, intimate fellowship with the Lord. And so you can increase your desire for God and His kingdom by decreasing the clutter and increasing the time you spend thinking about Jesus. And so to help your mind to think more on God, then it will help to spend more time in His Word, more time talking to Him, and more time worshiping Him. God doesn't want to take away your fun. You hear me? He wants you to have a full, He wants you to have an abundant life. But you got to be willing to commit to Him. You got to be willing to serve Him. He just wants to be included into the due life with you. Y'all with me? And so we need His life-giving presence to grow in faith and love. But yet sin will hinder growth in all areas of your life. But then, the second thing is negative thinking. Negative thinking is a bad habit which you need to address to grow emotionally, relationally, and spiritually. See, those negative thoughts are void of faith in God, who is the one who can do all things, even the impossible. Now, I used to have a habit of looking at each situation negatively and thinking that it was too hard. But I decided to change my thinking. So I told myself that my God is bigger than this situation. My God can handle any situation. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. I had to change my way of thinking. And so you have to ask God for strategies to replace a negative habit with a positive, faith-filled habit. Because all negative thinking will do is give you a headache. It gives you problems. It raises your blood pressure up. So you have to learn how to change your way of thinking. But then thirdly, shallow relationships. In other words, I'm talking about those shallow relationships. They have little depth. When I think about shallow relationships, I think about Abraham and Lot. You remember in Genesis 13? You remember Abraham had to part ways with Lot because they had very different goals. Lot had a selfish motive, but Abraham was fully surrendered to God's plan. And Abraham and Lot was very close. But yet, as time went by, conflict arose between Abraham and Lot, between them and their household. They both loved God, but yet they were not able to live close together anymore. And so they each had different attitudes, motives, and goals. So they had to separate. Abraham went his way, and Lot went his way. And the Bible says he pitched his tent toward Sodom. If you know anything about Sodom, Sodom was not a good place. And so they had to separate. But guess what? They were still family. They still loved one another. But yet Abraham could not continue to develop into the father of faith while burdened with all of Lot's family drama. So they had to separate. Abraham had to let him go. Listen to me. If you spend all your time with selfish people who are content to live spiritually fruitless lives, then you will end up just like them. Y'all hear me? Some people don't want God's presence. Some people don't want to see you do good. Don't let them drag you down. Lot and Abraham had to depart ways because Abraham would not let Lot drag him down. Sometimes those individuals, no matter their intent, can put us in a negative space and get us grumbling and complaining, and without realizing it, we can start to take on their perspective instead of going to God about our situations. Psalm 1, says that a successful people do not get tangled with negative, wicked, limiting people, but successful people in Psalm 1 says they delight in God's word. And so the good news is, listen, you can be successful person. You can be planted like strong trees along the riverbank, bearing abundant fruit and prospering all the things that you do. Don't you want to be that? Don't you want to prosper in all that you do? Well, let me caution you. Listen to me. Sometimes you may have to cut ties with some negative and limited people, even sometimes with your own family members. Why is that? Because relationships with some people will hinder your growth. You want to be spiritually growing, amen? That's what you want to do. And so you got to understand that relationships with negative controlling people, judgmental people, gossiping friends, people with different priorities will all limit your growth as a person emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. But let me tell you something. In fact, it's dangerous to let that kind of people influence how you live and how you think. 1 Corinthians 15 and 33 says, be not deceived. Evil communication or company corrupts good morals or good habits. These kind of attitudes are not from God, who is peace, who is faith, who is hope, who is love. It'll cause you to lose your soul if you are not careful. What is a man profiting? He should gain the whole world and lose his own soul. Each situation is different. So, church, ask God for strategies on how to deal with these situations. You may have to be willing to let some folk go. These kind of people, if we keep allowing them to influence us, will keep us stuck in spiritual muck. Some people don't want to change. Some people don't want to grow. And if they don't want to grow, if they don't want to change, you got to let them go for the sake of your soul, because you want to grow. You want to hear the Lord one day say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou have been faithful over a few things. Come and I make you ruler over many. And so understand that God will bring right relationships into your life. In Psalm 119 and verse 63, I am a companion of all those who fear you and of those who keep your precept. Do what you need to do to stay in line with God, because that's who you're going to have to answer to one day. But then, fourthly, judgmental attitudes hinders your spiritual growth. A judgmental attitude severely limits spiritual growth. Sometimes this attitude can creep into our minds ever so subtly and can have deep roots. Because once you start honestly looking for this in your own life, then you will see it everywhere. For example, have you ever judged somebody's appearance? Think about it. Christians seem to be the worst at judging others. Many of us don't try to understand where other people are coming from. We speak derogatory words and think judgmental thoughts about others. And we do not understand other people's situations, other people's actions, other people's choices, and we do not know the intent of their hearts. Listen, can I help y'all in love? When we pass judgment on others, we usurp authority as God. He is the judge. We are taking on God's job. That's a dangerous thing to do, is to make yourself God. And so, because understand, none of us in here has it all together. Understand, all of us in here have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the question comes, who made you judge? Was it God? No. And so we got to understand what happens. God is the only judge who can judge rightly. He is the only judge. And what happens is, this leaves our lives open to a boomerang. What do you mean? In Matthew chapter, when you read Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 1 through 5 and Romans 2 and verse 1, for in that which ye judge another, you condemn yourself. That's book. And so we got to be careful. Judging another is like throwing a boomerang. When we judge another person in any area, that same judgment, that boomerang, comes back to us. And so we need to understand, even if we do not see this in ourselves, we either already do the same kind of thing, or we will do the same kind of thing. It's a spiritual law. If we look with an honest heart, we can see things in our lives. We need to spend time looking at ourselves and not looking at others. Because there's a whole lot of stuff in ourselves that needs to be corrected. Amen? I know this lesson ain't popular, but you got to understand that if you're going to grow spiritually, there are some stuff that's going to hurt that you got to get rid of if you're going to grow. And so the continuing judgment cycle prevents spiritual growth. But the cycle will stop when you acknowledge, when you repent and say, Lord, I've fallen short of your glory. It'll stop that cycle. And so, finally, fear change can hinder your growth. Nothing will keep you in spiritual limbo than fear. It paralyzes. Some people keep their dreams inside them for decades, and then they take them to the grave. If you want to grow, you must take risks. Don't let your fear of public speaking, crowds, strangers, people, criticism stop you from trusting in God, who is bigger than all those things. God calls us to face our fears, to do amazing things, and he'll be there to help you. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. Fear is going to try to hinder you until you conquer it. Don't be afraid. But as I close, our roots need to have room to grow. God has amazing plans for you and I. But yet he requires us to be rooted and grounded in him. Ephesians 3 and verse 17. But also our character must be challenged by freedom, experience, and trust. Ephesians 4 and verse 17. Some people may be comfortable in their bondage, but comfortable does not equal growth. Listen, we have to be careful not to let anyone or anything replace the Word of God in our lives. We must be careful not to let anyone or anything distract us from God by turning our attentions away from him and missing heaven. Because that's what it's all about, is to make heaven our home. Spiritual distractions are anything that takes our focus away from God. And these distractions are dangerous, and they can keep us from making heaven our home. My prayer for you this morning is to find freedom from all the things that hinders your spiritual growth. Ask God to give you abundant grace, to give you mercy, to give you strength, to honestly face any places that are hindering your spiritual and emotional growth. Because listen, church, your soul is dependent upon it. Because if you lose your soul, you've lost everything. And heaven won't be your home. You can read about it, that place called heaven. But if you have not obeyed him, if you have not did what he says, all you're going to do is just read about heaven, because you ain't going there. But God is giving you time right now to make it right, to start living for him, to start doing what he said. God knows. He knows every one of us here this morning. He knows about whether we're doing his will or not. God already knows that. And you're not going to have to answer to people, but you're going to have to answer to Almighty God. And when you stand before him, will you hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," or will you hear him say, "I never knew you"? Prepare for the devil and his angels. That's the choice that you have to make right now. Not yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. You've heard the word, believe it to be true. Repent of your sin, confess Christ, and be baptized. If you're here a Christian, not been living as a Christian should, you need to make it right. Not tomorrow. Tomorrow is not promised any man. Not even the rest of this day. The only time that you have to get it right is right now. And if you miss that opportunity, you cannot say, "He never mentioned him to me." You cannot say he did not extend the invitation for you to come to make it right with him. Come right now, we stand and sing the song of encouragement.
Oh, Savior, thou art needing, so save your ways for thee. Hear his word of tender pleading, hear his grace just gone to me. He is calling, softly calling,
calling.
His voice is falling, he is calling, softly calling, come to me and be at rest. He has died for thy transgression, if thou wilt, thou canst be free. So he waits for thy confession, Savior, I will go to thee. He is calling, softly calling, on thy ear. His voice is calling, he is calling, softly calling, come to me and be at rest. Do not linger till tomorrow, let thy love the answer be. Savior, in my joy or sorrow, I will ever go to thee. He is calling, softly calling, on thine ear. His voice is calling, he is calling, softly calling, come to me and be at rest.
Let me see.